Welcome to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe for free always at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, on with the show. So it goes on and on, and after a while, about halfway through, it does start to get rather interesting. And that's when you start to see evidence of the Invisible Man. And it is very enjoyable at that point. However, I feel it took way too long to get there. You have Cecilia, played by Elizabeth Moss, who I think is top-notch, star quality, the top of the top, cream of the crop, one of the best actors, not just up and coming, because she's been doing stuff for a while, The Handmaid's Tale and so many other things. I really enjoyed her in The One I Love years back with Mark Duplass, a creepy tale for couples. I think couples would enjoy it because you find out about the other side of your partner, the darker side of your partner, which we are maybe attracted to, but maybe not. So that is a really great film. I think The Invisible Man is a great film, and many people will find it great, the Get Out variety. But for me, maybe the Hereditary variety, which I'm not of that variety, as I have said. I didn't enjoy those films as much as everybody else did. But The Invisible Man is supposed to be based on the original from 1933, where you have this scoundrel who has learned how to make himself invisible, and he's just wreaking all kinds of havoc everywhere he goes, everywhere he looks. This is a little different. This has to do with a stalking. And this is a stalking film. The only difference is you take the traits of the Invisible Man that he had in 1933 and you put them into the man here in this stalking action film. I've said all I need to say about the stalking. I do want to say that Lee Whannell, once again, is exploring something new, trying something new. Always like to see what he's got up his sleeve ever since Insidious, ever since Saw. But I don't think it's one of his best. And so I know I'm going against the grain here, and it's doing really well. Looks like at last check it had a 7.6 audience score with Internet Movie Database, which we all know is pretty much unheard of for a horror movie. And it's more of a mystery and a sci-fi, I would say. There are some horror elements, and it definitely jumps out at you a few times. But there's a lot that's different from the original. Instead of taking some kind of drug to become invisible, this one is a suit. And I won't get into the suit, but it's pretty cool. In conclusion, there are amazing moments in this film, but it takes too long to get there. And it was definitely a horror film, but more of a mystery sci-fi. And it's definitely not like the original, and it's definitely a stalking a woman film and a woman power vengeance film. So I'll leave it at that. I gave this film a 6 out of 10. Greetings from Traumaville is like the history of Lloyd Kaufman, who headed up Trauma Entertainment. And I don't know a whole lot about Trauma Entertainment, but I really enjoyed this documentary. Around the time of 1974, there were films made by Trauma Company. And in the films, they had a place called Traumaville. And Traumaville is where all the mayhem and funny stuff happened. It was very slapstick, lots of sexy comedy, lots of drug use, lots of just really out there stuff for the 70s. Not, you know, worse than Caddyshack, but the same kind of thought, like everybody's doing it kind of a thing. But the thing that's cool is Lloyd with his partner Michael Hertz founded this independent film company, and they made all these movies. And the movies are very special to a lot of people. I myself just discovered them recently doing a series on splatter horror comedies, and I watched a few of them, and you can find them in my past reviews just a few back. The Class of Nuke 'Em High is one of them, and The Toxic Avenger is another. But this is a cool thing to watch if you like those films, and if you know what I'm talking about with the splatter horror comedy films, then you probably know about Traumaville. But did you know that this documentary about the making of these films is on Prime? Well, if you have Prime and you like these films, you will love Greetings from Traumaville. I gave it an 8 out of 10. The Lodge is an interesting film. I think if I had the time and the care to, I would definitely watch it again, try and figure out what the director is trying to say, what the writer is trying to say. But as it is, I don't have that time, and I don't want to make the time. I gave this film a 5 out of 10, but I was really curious about The Lodge for a long time. I saw a trailer for it like 6 months ago, and then I didn't see anything for the longest time. And then I found out I was just about to miss it. It was playing at my local theater, so I went and saw it. The story is a soon-to-be stepmom is snowed in with her fiancé's two children at a remote holiday village. Just as relations begin to thaw between the trio, some strange and frightening events take place. I found it all kind of like hard to believe and hard to take in. It didn't seem like it made any sense. I did learn that Riley Keough, who was in The House That Jack Built, and I'd seen that recently, and a couple other things recently. She's been in some horror. And so I really had respect for her. I thought, wow, maybe this is our new horror, mistress of horror. And so I was real excited about it. And then I found out that she's Elvis Presley's granddaughter. So that was kind of cool to find that out. Unfortunately, nothing really in the movie could really rival any of that for interesting things. I found it to be strange. I found it to not make sense. And I found their dad to be a total asshole and irresponsible one at that. But I don't even really want to get into it beyond that, other than to warn you that it's really not that good of a movie and it doesn't stand up logically at all. So, like I said, I gave this, well, maybe I didn't tell you yet, I gave this one a 5 out of 10, and I think you could miss it. The Crazies is such a cool movie. Definitely. Yeah, I love it when I watch one that I can wholeheartedly recommend to you as fun horror, as exciting. They call it an action horror sci-fi, and it's all those things. But it is older, and so be ready for that. It kind of looks like a 70s movie, which some of you may like, some of you may not like, but personally, I like that. As long as I take off my expectations of it having amazing effects and things like that. The 70s movies are often better movies. The military attempts to contain a man-made combat virus that causes death and permanent insanity. So we have this small Pennsylvania town where this virus, oh my gosh, just like right now. We have a virus, and if you turn on CNN and listen, they're going to find more cases, and you're finding more cases every day. And no, it's not the Democrats making it up, Mr. Trump. It's happening. You need to accept it. And I think that is scary to us. And it was scary to us back then in the crazies when they made this film in 1973. George Romero, the man. Night of the Living Dead guy, in case you didn't know, he's the director, and he puts his magic into this one. There is a couple that are kind of the heroic couple in this. They're the ones that it sort of follows, and they do something at the beginning that, frankly, made me kind of realize they are as tough as nails as shit. They woke up in the morning and they kissed full tongue in the morning without brushing their teeth. I couldn't help but think to myself, wow, these are tough people. But it's got some great 70s style acting. some great 70s style action, and a little horror, of course. A lot of horror, a lot of latex happening. People are dying. People are getting sick and burned, and it's a good one. It holds your attention for sure. And this one I gave actually an 8 out of 10. House is an amazing horror and a fun horror. It's a comedic horror. I should make that known at the beginning. It's also a fantasy and a comedy, as I said. And we have director Steve Miner, who directed this, and he has directed some of the Friday the 13th films. He has done so much. Very well known director. And this was testing the waters of comedic horror. It's a troubled writer moving into a haunted house after inheriting it from his aunt. And we have William Catt, who is the greatest American hero. I don't know if you remember that show. I watched it growing up in the 70s and the 80s. Actually, more the 80s, because I was 10 in 1980. So that tells you how old I am. Through the 80s was my 10 to 20 period. And I think that's the period we're most aware of film. First aware of film, and then it sticks with us as our foundation. But then again, I did see Star Wars when I was 7. So that, of course, had an amazing impact. Always. But this film House is a lot of fun. If you want to laugh at latex monsters and goofy stuff, it's also scary, but you won't find it terrifying. I gave this one a 10 out of 10. Go see it. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, have a great day.